아래 다키진 건도 먼저 그 동화 밑에 봐야 다 동화 메어야 기 동화기 큐 안에 디바디 파빵고 그래서 사다 대화 대화에서 대유규 개화도 주고 그래서 제가 되니다 개화다 디바 안에 디바 봐야다 개화 냠슬이야디 지지 그래서 되니다 안에 개화 디바 개화 냠슬롱 베기 나 이미 제보들라인데 제보인데 제요레스네 이상 개화단 디바 냠네 야고 용하라 안에 아주게 개화단 디비기 디바 포드게 삼바다 개화 줍디게 삼바 되니 슈친 보용하라 안에 개위기 규개화게 제보 안에 디지 삼다야다 안에 미기위규 안에 동화용다디도 삼당 오레스 데네게 삼당제 안에 동화이 동화 빠야 동화이 규빠야 미개와 빠야 되려야 안에 저기 배수의 제바제 안 되려야 시신제 안 도시네 잼비 진제 나는 말 저기 미개와 빠야다 안에 개와 주변에 되려야 개와 되게 아니요 다 죽고 뒤에 민도 선배게 소수게 시신 제바제 되는 잼바제 안 돼 어디 어디시네 아니 잼바제 개와 죽고 그래서 지디고라 그 지금 디시에
Last week, when we continued with the presentation on karma, we spoke about the need to identify the causes that lead to suffering, and having identified them, strive to abandon their accumulation. And in conjunction with this, the need to identify the causes that lead to happy experiences, the desired experiences, and those then are what we should strive to accumulate. And in order to aid our accumulation of virtue, last week we looked at eight qualities that are conducive to our spiritual progression. And we looked at those in some detail. What it comes down to though in brief is that we need to strive to accumulate virtue as well as abandoning all non-virtue. And the skillful way to do this is to rely on mindfulness and introspection. Introspection serving to always watch over our mind, ensuring that it is in the direction of virtue. And as soon as the arisal of an affliction is noticed, or when one's in a situation where an affliction may arise, then in reliance on mindfulness, one recalls the dangers of the afflictions and the need to apply an antidote, and one does so. This, in brief, is what we looked at last week. Last week, when we looked at these eight qualities of full maturation, these are, if one achieves these, then one's precious human rebirth is further enhanced in terms of the ability that one has to spiritually develop and thereby be of ever greater impact on others. So these include, amongst these eight qualities that we looked at, one was to have a long life. So having a precious human rebirth is of great importance, but if that life is very short, then one cannot achieve what the great value of such a life. And then we looked at several others, such as being born into a family where one has a prestige and influence. And we also looked at other qualities there, such as in one's endeavors in life to have influence over others. We spoke why qualities such as these are desirable from the spiritual perspective is so that one can be of benefit to others in an enhanced way. Moreover, that one can guide others to also turn away from non-virtue and embrace virtue. And a further quality was having authoritative speech, where what one says carries great weight. And having such a quality, and combined with a virtuous motivation, then this too enhances the ability that we have to be of great benefit to others. So these were some of the eight qualities that we looked at last week. Last week we also spoke, when we spoke about these eight qualities of full maturation, spoke out that these can be seen whether one looks at them from the perspective of one's own benefit or from the perspective of the benefit of others. We can see the great importance of having these qualities. So for example, from one's own perspective, of course, being born as a human and having a long life is of great importance. So too, having complete sense faculties and also to have no mental impediment. So because, of course, if one is deaf or blind or has a severe physical disability or a mental impediment, this serves as unfavorable circumstances for one's own development. Moreover, if one's material situation is very poor, if one is impoverished, this is a great impediment to one's spiritual development. And likewise, in terms of our interpersonal relations with others, if others don't naturally warm to us, if others in fact have a natural dislike towards us, or if others don't trust us or pay any heed or attention to what we have to say, this will cause us some disquiet, and also having no influence, no authority, will leave us feeling quite vulnerable. And these all serve as impediments to our own a good life, and certainly our own personal spiritual development. Likewise, if physically we lack energy, we struggle to maintain work, we struggle to care for ourselves, these other conditions show how we'll have many obstacles to our spiritual practice. But these, of course, then can also be looked at from the perspective of if we have a great desire to be of benefit to others, to spiritually develop for ourselves, to spiritually develop in order to be of ever greater impact on the lives of others, then these qualities of being born a human, having a long life, having complete sense faculties, such as sight and sound and so forth, as well as no mental impediments and comfortable material conditions, and so forth, and as well as energy, it's clear how through having such qualities, we can have our spiritual development is enhanced, and thereby our ability to be of greater impact on the lives of others, in particular, having influence over turning them away from the accumulation of the causes that lead to suffering, and encouraging them in the accumulation, the identification of and accumulation of the causes that lead to actual happiness. So therefore, we have, as having discussed these eight qualities of full maturation, these we need to, having identified, we need to strive to accumulate their causes, and this is something of great importance. The causes, in brief, are, for example, to have a long life comes about through the commitment not to kill. But actually one needs to go to a finer level than just saying, I will not take life. One needs to develop the commitment that I will not bring harm to others. And in fact, not only through physical activity do I commit not to harm others, but through my speech, I will not bring harm to others. And to ensure that, I need to control my mind, take responsibility for my way of thinking, restrain my way of thinking so that I don't have thoughts of harm towards others either. And to then rather summarize all the causes that are required to achieve these eight qualities. One such as that is that of ethical restraint. And then there's also that of generosity, which can be practiced in many ways, such as material generosity, giving of food or medicine and the like, but also helping free others from fear, so those whose lives, for example, those whose lives are in danger, or giving advice, giving our time to others. And moreover, practicing patience, as well as joyous perseverance. So these four causes, accomplished well, serve to bring about the eight ripening results. However, if not only does one not achieve those eight results, but actually one achieves the contrary, the opposite results. So instead of having material comfort, one is impoverished. Instead of having complete sense faculties, one has severe physical disabilities, such as blindness and deafness and the like, as well as mental impediments. These then come about through engaging in opposite practices to those. One is not ethical. One's way of thinking is not at all generous, not patient, and one lacks joyous perseverance. So through cultivating the contrary causes, one experiences the contrary results, the undesired results. That's a summary then of what we looked at previously, which was to focus on the causes that we need to accumulate to achieve the results that we desire. Since we need to apply ourselves to accumulating virtue as much as possible and avoiding any accumulation of virtue. So tonight, we come to look at a third step that we need to engage in, not only accumulate virtue, as well as secondly, avoid the accumulation of non-virtue. But in the past, whether in this or previous lives, we would have accumulated already a vast store of non-virtue that is yet to be experienced. So that vast store of non-virtue, this cannot be left alone because it will ripen when it encounters the relevant conditions. So now that we have the opportunity to purify previously accumulated negativities, non-virtuous karma, this we need to do. And Buddha Shakyamuni taught many techniques for confessing and purifying non-virtue. And that's what we all start to look at tonight.
On page 26
in our text, just past halfway down. However, if occasionally strong mental afflictions overpower you and you commit a breach of practice, do not be apathetic, but confess the unwanted karmic obstacle at the proper time and place, and by means of the four opponent powers, cleanse all stains of body, speech, and mind. However, if occasionally strong mental afflictions overpower you, so this line serves to remind us that the mental afflictions that do ripen so readily of anger and attachment, this is something that has pervaded us throughout this life, and therefore we have been accumulating so much non-virtue through the regular arisal of the variety of afflicted minds, such as anger, attachment, and many others. But this hasn't only been the case in this one life, but throughout beginningless lives, these afflictions have ripened and thereby led to the accumulation of vast stores of non-virtue. So in accordance with the proper time and place, we need to confess and purify these. Now that we have an opportunity to recognize that that we've accumulated non-virtue, and secondly, that there's great danger in this, and therefore, thirdly, we can do something about this, we should do so. Because even from a perspective of this one life, the non-virtue on our continuum impedes us right now, in this very life. It's not just a case of we have this vast store of non-virtue on our continuum, therefore we will suffer in the future. But we do experience its ripening effects in this life. And those ripening effects are experienced on one hand through the experiences of suffering, but on the other, they are impediments to our accumulation of virtue. They are obstacles to our accumulation of virtue. They don't completely prevent the accumulation of virtue, of course, but they impede our accumulation of virtue. So therefore, it's of great importance that we purify our store of non-virtue. The skillful method to purify previously accumulated negativities is through, as it says in our text, by means of the four opponent powers, cleanse all stains of body, speech, and mind. To be clear, what one does through the application of the four opponent powers is significantly weaken these previously accumulated non-virtues. This process of purification, generally speaking, has two key components. So the one component is to purify, or to be more clear, more accurate than the word purify, is to significantly weaken previously accumulated non-virtue. So that's one component. The second component is that of committing to no longer accumulate non-virtue, because whilst it's crucial that we accumulate previous non-virtues, so too must we refrain from accumulating further. Just like if one cleans one's home thoroughly, then one naturally should take care not to get it dirty again. Whereas if one doesn't give any thought to one's home, in no time it will be as dirty as it was before. So similarly, We need to put energy into purifying previously accumulated non-virtue, and in conjunction with this, ensure that we close the door to further accumulation of non-virtue through either physical activity, through verbal communication, or our ways of thinking. The four opponent powers are firstly the power of the basis, the power of regret, the power of restraint, and the power of the antidote. The order that the four opponent powers often presented in text often differs from the order of practice. So in the order of practice, generally one would start with the power of regret, where one puts our greatest effort into where one spends time recollecting the non-virtues that one can recall from this life, generating regret for these, knowing that these have led to karmic imprints placed on our continuum, that when they ripen, will ripen in suffering. And in addition to this, we remind ourselves that we have accumulated a vaster array of non-virtue than we can remember from this life. There will be those that are from accumulated in this life that we've forgotten, as well as all the non-virtue that we accumulated in our previous lives in a variety of different forms and encounters. We accumulated the broadest form of non-virtuous karma. Those imprints abide on our continuum. But all of these non-virtuous activities, whether we engage in them through our physical, verbal, mental activity, came about in dependence on our afflicted minds. And these come about in dependence on ignorance. And ignorance we can understand in a variety of ways, but here one can understand it as a confusion about reality, not understanding how things exist. Thereby, through this confusion, our afflictions arise, and have led to the accumulation of non-virtue.
It's
important to understand the purpose of regret, because the generation or the arisal of regret, if it comes about unskillfully, it can weaken one. Whereas if the conscious generation of regret is done skillfully, it serves a great purpose. And the purpose of regret, in particular what one here is regretting, is not merely physical and verbal activity, but principally the motivating minds for the physical and verbal activity. Minds such as attachment, anger, and ignorance. And the purpose of regret in particular for the motivating minds is so that we have the strength of mind to turn away from this way of thinking and thereby that way of behaving. So for example, if we recognize that all beings value their life, they view their life, no matter how insignificant they are, they view their life as supremely precious. But we recognize that we have killed many animals in this life. But no matter how insignificant those animals appear to us, they hold their life dearly. They value their life. When we recognize that, regret will arise within us. And we recognize what our motivation for that action was. And seeing this, with the power of regret, we all have the strength not only not to kill, but not to come under the influence of that way of thinking that doesn't value a life of others or values our own desires more than the life of another being. So through this process of recollecting a non-virtuous deed and generating regret for that, one will have the strength of mind to actually turn away from such non-virtue. And this is important because at the time of generating one regret, one will, at the time of recalling a non-virtue, one will have some regret. But later, when one encounters a specific circumstance, it's independent on this meditation, mind such as regret, that one will no longer engage in such activities, but will refrain from doing so. One may recognize the arisal of that affliction again, but will know the harm that comes from this affliction, and thereby will have the strength of mind to turn away from it. And similarly, if, for example, one has been drunk and seen the harmful behavior that followed from losing control, that one argued with others, said things that were inappropriate, and later, with great embarrassment, had to try and repair relationships, when one sees the faults of one's behavior, understands and understands one's motivation for this behavior, then one can skillfully, through regret, change one's behavior. Especially when one's seeing the faults of that motivating mind, not just the coarse behavior, then one can turn away from a class of non-virtue, not a mere expression of that motivating mind. So again, the purpose of regret is that through generating it, using it skillfully, it gives us the strength of mind to change our behavior, to overcome our habituation to certain behavior, and thereby to effectively develop a mind of restraint, an ethical outlook.
Then 다디 녀마기 디비티고레 에스나 디비티고레 샤스 지난 데니기 디고 녀마 데니기 다 디고 세나다 데니 세바마고 바 데니기 디고레 데네 한 데스레 바레 세베기 데니기 콘도 강아디게 삼따바이나 다 데니기 디비티고디게 디고 사바 디미도 세베 삼따야다 당아주 밀메베 둔돌레 삼따바이나 셈젠디게다 페 직 지 제나라 튕게 야고 야다 요 튕게 이마 디보 사요거나 디네기 디비 디보도 마호바나 디네 이카나 뇽바데 페사사레 삼제 디네게 삼다도 다 디네기 뇽고데 페사이레 마호바나 제와치마 디네게 강아지 강아지 나로지 홍사데 페사사레 와삼 디네게 삼다바이네 제자 다 디네자 디바지 미제바데 팀 다 디바데 메바선마 페사사 삼비게 겨바 녀마기 제바데라 노르 중샤 세비게 겨바케리 슈셰리 리고레
I just mentioned then the purpose of regret, why it's such a, used skillfully, it's such an important mind to transform ourselves, to transform our way of thinking and thereby our behavior. But in order to generate regret, this comes about independent on the cultivation of a preceding cause, in particular, to the extent that one has reflected on suffering. To that extent, we will be able to generate transformative regret, powerful regret. So through reflecting on cause and effect as well, we'll be able to generate transformative regret because we'll understand that from non-virtue, suffering follows. So for example, if either in our own situation or most probably what we observe in the world, we see some people who are truly impoverished. It's not just that they struggle to get by, but they have no home. They don't have suitable clothing to keep themselves warm in this cold weather. They struggle to feed themselves, and they can't take care of their loved ones. We see situations like this all over the world. So these are results that have come about in dependence on causes. Those causes are non-virtue. If we've reflected on this well, seeing that I could not handle that suffering, I do not want to have to experience this, then we will turn away from non-virtue, recognizing the causes would include, for example, miserliness. We will develop the ethical restraint of abandoning miserliness. Similarly, if we observe the suffering in, say, the animal world, see how animals kill each other. They catch and eat each other alive, and this is a continuous process that animals live in a constant state of fear that another more powerful one will catch them and eat them alive, recognizing that they are in such a state due to the non-virtue that they accumulated in previous lives, and they suffer like this because of that non-virtue. I couldn't cope with that. I don't want to have to experience that. I have to close that possibility. Therefore, I will abandon non-virtue. So thinking like this immediately leads us to take great care, as well as regret for the past misdeeds that we have done. So in this way, to the extent that we have reflected on suffering, to that extent, regret will more readily arise within us and will be more powerful. Following from generating regret, readily arises the next opponent power, that of the power of restraint or the power of the promise. So this is where one commits to not repeating such behaviors. One commits to restraining one's way of thinking. So this word for restraint is the word for vow. So we can understand it in this context of where one is making a vow to no longer engage in such behavior. And this readily arises independent on regret. So the stronger the regret we generate, the stronger will be our commitment to restraining from following such afflictions in the future. And then in order to weaken the non-virtue that has been accumulated and confessed, then one does so through accumulating virtue. So how one accumulates virtue, our text here mentions our Vajrasattva mantra, but this is entirely up to oneself. Wherever one's predisposition or inclination is towards, engage in that virtuous activity. So recite mantras such as Mani Padme Hum or whichever mantra one prefers, engage in circumambulation as purification practice, or engage in meditation such as bodhicitta or another topic. Whatever a virtuous practice one feels inclined towards, engage in that as the opponent power of the antidote, the third opponent power, that of the antidote. The fourth opponent power, that of the power of the basis, this then refers to our motivation for the accumulation of virtue. So perhaps if we could include this, make this then the third of the four opponent powers with the antidote, the fourth. But again, these powers aren't set. What works for the order of these powers aren't set. It's what works for oneself. So this then serves the basis, opponent power, the basis, serves as the motivation for our then engagement in the power of the antidote. So the basis refers to refuge and bodhicitta. So here one generates refuge and bodhicitta, and this is our motivation for engaging in the power of the antidote, and this is the power of restraint. Here too, though, one can also include the in the power of the basis, one can also include the mind of definite emergence, as well as that of refuge and bodhicitta. That then is a very brief presentation of the four opponent powers. The power of regret, the power of restraint, the power of the basis, and the power of the antidote. When engaging then in this practice, the first step is to have an object to confess to. So here we would generally use the three jewels, the Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel, generate them in the sense of feel their presence. And it's to them that we make our confession to, confession for past misdeeds. And the purpose of confessing to the three jewels is very similar to in our life. If we have made a mistake, and from this mistake we can suffer severe consequences, immediately we'll generate regret for what we have done because we don't want to suffer those consequences. And where we can, we'll go to someone with power and authority and influence to apologize for what we've done, to explain what we've done, so as to seek their assistance so that we don't get into trouble for the mistake that we've made. So this is similar to what we're doing here. We're confessing to someone, to the three jewels.
Having generated a feeling for the presence of the three jewels, then one immediately embarks in a meditation on the suffering results of non-virtue. So there are many ways that one can do this. One can think about one's own circumstances, one's own experiences, or one can take from what one observes around oneself. For example, the sufferings of the animals, or as we understand from the text, the sufferings in the other lower realms of the spirits in the hells. And we can also take the sufferings of the human realms. So those people that we know, those that we've seen in our society, the sufferings that we observe through watching the news. Remind ourselves
that all this suffering, whether it's the suffering we experience or others are experiencing, all comes from non-virtue. All suffering comes from that same cause. And all suffering and all non-virtuous physical and verbal activities have come about from afflicted minds. So whilst others may right now be suffering in ways far worse than I have, and thereby are experiencing the ripening effects of far more powerful non-virtue than I am experiencing right now, I cannot say with any certainty that those causes that they have accumulated and are experiencing now do not abide on my continuum. So therefore, I who do not want to suffer like I see others suffering, I must ensure I do not engage in these negativities. So here we generate regret for the negativities that we know we have done, and that we know through recollection, as well as the negativities that we infer that we have done, it, whether in this or past lives. So we generate regret like this through seeing the suffering results that ourselves and others are experiencing, and with this wish not to suffer, we generate regret for having come under the influence of the afflicted minds. And here then, having generated this regret, which here we actually in this presentation you'll see how the opponent powers don't have to be done sequentially, but they can be done together. Regenerating regret in dependence on having reflected on suffering. And now we think, who can protect us from this? From the suffering results that await us. The suffering results that await us due to the non-virtue that we ourselves have accumulated. And that is the three jewels. It's the three jewels that have the ability to guide us, to develop the protection of the realizations of the Dharma jewel within our own continuum. That is the actual protection. And so three jewels that can bring that about. So here we generate conviction, trust in the three jewels' ability to provide protection from suffering. In fact, they can provide liberation from suffering through our development of realizations. So here we have generated now the two causes for refuge. We've generated the fears for relating to unwanted suffering, which is also the opponent power of regret. We've generated trust or conviction in the three jewels, which is then the second cause for refuge. So now, with sincerity, from the depths of our hearts, we are going for refuge. And this is the power of the basis. And now we can, and then within this, we would have also committed not to engage in non-virtue in the future, the power of restraint. And now we can engage in the power of the antidote, which, for example, can be the recitation of a confession prayer, such as the practice of the 35 Buddhas, or another antidote that one may prefer.
Ani chigi la sumjo songa ki jik ten pa chwe shi diwa shakwe shi zangi nyema chwe diwa dhimin da kunjo sum chen se du dangi diwa chwe dhimin du siya kunjo sum liya yubu olwa dangi nyema dhini chwe bada dhimin du nora sha da dhiring de shakwe yu chen se du kunjo sum liya yubu olwa se zang da yi kunjo sum na jab su duwe jambro di ting yi to dan jab yu kunjo sum po diyang ting yi to cha kwa re ngana zuki chigi ting yi to si du ngana zi ya Jimashi,
In that presentation of how one can apply the four opponent powers, one sees how one starts by generating, reflecting on suffering, generating regret for past misdeeds, recognizing that all non-virtues all suffering that ourselves and others are experiencing is due to non-virtue. So one's generating regret, but this also serves as the one of the two causes required to generate refuge, the power of the basis. And then we, having generated regret through reflecting on suffering, we then generate the second cause, that of conviction that the three jewels do have the ability to provide us with protection. And both of those causes need to be cultivated for regret, for refuge to come about sincerely. Both reflection on suffering and generate fear for suffering that awaits us, as well as conviction that the three jewels can provide protection. Because just like if we fall into a pit and we reach up for someone to pull us out, if they can take both of our arms, if we can hold on to both of their arms, they'll be able to pull us out so much more quickly. Likewise, for refuge to be transformative, we do need to cultivate both causes, that of the fear of suffering, as well as the conviction that the three jewels can provide us with protection. So therefore, we also see in this presentation how the cultivation of the opponent powers can be done sequentially, or they can be done together. Here, one, as we heard, we start by generating regret for past misdeeds that one has done, and then from this we reflect. So, how can we gain protection from suffering? And that is the three jewels. And based on our sincere trust in the three jewels, we turn for them to with refuge. So here we would have generated regret, and with also then with this the mind of restraint, that opponent power, gone to refuge to the three jewels, that opponent power, the basis. And then, as we often start in the morning, we will set up our shrine, we'll offer water bowls, perhaps flowers and incense, maybe do some prostrations. So these are all virtuous acts. So therefore, they're included in the power of the antidote. And so in this way, we can include what we generally do as virtuous acts within the context of the four opponent powers. And one further point to make, say something that Genla said earlier that I didn't say, when he was talking about two hands pulling you out of a hole, being quicker than just one. The second way that is to be understood is that not only do we need both minds for refuge to be powerful, but also the mind of refuge is not only the power of basis, but as it is a virtuous mind, it is also the power of the antidote, because any virtuous mind within the context of regret and restraint serves as purification. So in this way, a refuge serves two purposes.
Kunjusum sempikita ishi chere jamru chakura. Da dine chokura samyadu, ta susu chibu mayimba rangshan semchan tam chigi dunga digi kyoye di konju sungu chokura ya sempikita. And some 지난 델레야 두 섬담에 있는 군원 델레야 안에 진짜 유심히 군원 차리 그러와
So a refuge then, when you use skillfully like this, serves both as a power of the antidote, as well as the power of the basis, being a motivation. But to make this a practice of the Mahayana, we should include within our motivation, not or the power of the basis, not just refuge, but also bodhicitta. So the way to do that is the same process as before. We generate, through reflecting on suffering, we generate regret for the past misdeeds we've engaged in, because these are the causes of all suffering. And then we secondly think to ourselves, how can I gain protection from suffering? Who has the power to guide me in my self-development so that I can achieve protection from suffering? That is the three jewels. And then from the depths of our heart, with sincerity, we go for refuge to the three jewels. Then we reflect that the three jewels have the ability to protect all beings from suffering. So therefore, as a representative of others, or rather for their sake, I now go for refuge to the three jewels, and I will engage in this purification practice so as to fulfill the fullest extent of the motivation of the Buddhas, of the Buddha jewel, and the fullest potential of the Dharma jewel. I will go for refuge in order to become a Buddha for the sake of others. I will purify now so that I can become the most skilled of guides, a Buddha, and be of great benefit to others. So here, having gone for refuge, we then generate bodhicitta, and then we engage in the power of the antidote, such as the 35 Buddhas, or whatever form of virtue we feel most inclined towards.
Rang, I mind by Shen, Simjan, Tamji, that Dibo Potom, the Passa, that the Dibo Sada, Sajin Banza, Tongashiba Mangurua, then it's that Simjan, Dibasa, and then Dibu, Dibu, then the Duma Yongu would be Sara, that's one and around to get Marai, Nada, Rang Simjan, Chasang, Dibu Saya, to get Chasang Yomo, Wongi, Dushin, Notation, Sara, Pesasha, the Notation, Bushuresha, and did the Jimino, said Biggie to Giovachi. That you were in a thinking on the symptom, Tamji, Dibadi Pashahagi, Melosweg, Nubadi Sulyor, Japney conscious of the Yore, Sempigi, conscious of the Yichi. And then that didn't me, Semja Tamji, you don't know the Mati to Dibashai, Taman and Dibasha, who the Dinsangi, Semja Tamji to Dibashai, don't allow young Sanjay Gopan Toku, which is not Sanjay Gopan Matum, the Jimidus, Sanjay Gopan Toku, or Sempigi, and some Nadi, and Jamji Semja. Then it's on the end of the city. Some time by now, Jamrodida, and the Tabachimi Jamrachar Gurwa, Kuno de la Jamnijeda, Janjusim Yukunela, Jesu, and the Tabachimi Jamrachar, Jesan, the Niki Jamrodan, Janjusim Nibodi, Kuno di, that thing you top, ဒီပါဆက်သောက်ရင်ချိန်မှာရောင်းရံဒီပါဆက်သောက်ရင်ချိန်မှာရှင်အဲစင်ချင်းသမ်းချင်းဒုံကဒီပါမချဲရတဲ့ပြည့်စုံချိန်မှာပြည့်စုံချိန်ချင်းစင်ချင်းသမ်းချင်းဒုံကဒီပါမချဲရတဲ့ငေးထပ်ချိန်ချင်းစပယ်စံတားရင်အဲဒီကဆောက်ရတယ်အညဘလောက်တော့တုပ်ဆက်ချက်ဘူးဟောဒုစံတားချက်ပဲနားမှန်ကြည့်တင်ယူတုပ်ကြလားအနည်းကဆောက်ရကိုကျံလို့အထားချေရှင်ကြီးကချားလို့ရတယ်ဒီနေ့လည်းဒီအဲစံတားချက်ဒီပါရှာတာ
And again, because I'm hoping to get across that the way that one practices purification through the four opponent powers is quite flexible, in that one can do it in a way that suits you, that suits your individual personality. But there are certain parts that are fairly fixed. For example, one needs to start with regret. It is the basis. Generating regret through the recollection of the suffering causes that we, the causes for suffering that we have accumulated, generating fear for suffering. And so here, we need to start, as ordinary people, we need to start by reflecting on the non-virtue that we have accumulated and therefore the sufferings that await us, generating fear that I myself do not want to suffer in this way. I observe what's happening in the world. I do not want to experience this. And we remind ourselves that the causes that led to every single non-virtue I've done is the afflicted minds. These, their arisal and their abiding and acting under their influence, this is what caused me to accumulate all my non-virtues through my body, speech, and mind. But others too, all other suffering sentient beings, they are no different from me. They all want to be freed of suffering. But like me, they remain under the control of their afflicted minds and on their continuums, their mental continuums of a vast store of non-virtue. And all of this, just like me, came about in dependence on the arisal and acting under the influence of the afflicted minds. So here we generate regret for the non-virtue that we've done. We generate regret for others in the sense that we recognize that on their continuum are the causes for the perpetuation of unwanted suffering. And already through prior meditations, coming to value others, through generating regret in this way, it will be so much more powerful because we do not want others to suffer and we recognize that the causes for suffering abide on their continuum and will remain there unless they purify their own continuums. So here the regret arises very powerfully within oneself. And then when one now turns towards refuge, we'll be looking for who has the ability to provide protection for myself as well as others. And this is the three jewels. It is through the generation of the Dharma jewel within oneself that protection is attained. And thereby one generates a strong refuge within oneself. But the refuge here is conjoined with bodhicitta, because one has already now reflected on the suffering of others. So one turns to the three jewels, committing to live a life in accordance with the Dharma so that one can spiritually develop in order to be of ever greater benefit to others, in particular so that one can become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this is how one goes for Mahayana refuge, where one turns to the three jewels for refuge by conjoined with bodhicitta. One is turning for refuge to the three jewels so that one can become a Buddha for the sake of others. Then one is ready to engage in the antidotal power of one's and engage in a virtuous activity of one's choice. And at any point within here, one develops a mind of restraint. But here again, with the mind of restraint, when it's the opponent powers of the Mahayana, one commits to restraining one's own mind from coming under the influence of the, allowing the afflictions to abide and thereby influence us. And one does commits to restrain from this, not only to protect oneself from non-virtue, but so as not to harm others, not to add to the burden of suffering of others. And moreover, where we can help others, not to be non-virtuous. we will do. So this is how, from the perspective of the Mahayana, one engages in the four opponent powers. So mentioned that the object to whom one goes for refuge, one confesses to, is the three jewels. But if one is applying the four opponent powers in a different context, such as in a sadhana practice, whether that of Vajrasattva, Chenasekhtara, or Yamantaka, or even if one is just going to use the antidotal power of their mantra, then one can turn to them as an embodiment of the three jewels and visualize, feel the presence of the deity, whether Vajrasattva, Chenasekhtara, or Yamantaka, or whomever, and turn to them for refuge and engage in the self-same practice.
I'll just briefly then mention how one can engage in the four opponent powers in the context of Vajrasattva practice. You'll see that the general structure is very similar to what has been presented before. So here one generates the visualization of Vajrasattva, or at least a feeling of the presence of Vajrasattva. And here, one then immediately goes into reflection on suffering. And this is, of course, now being a tantric practice. It's in the context of the Mahayana. So one reflects on the suffering that beings are experiencing and the causes that have led to it, which is non-virtue. One reminds oneself that all sentient beings like oneself wants to be freed of suffering and pain. No being wants to suffer in any way. And one here then generates
regret for the non-virtue that one has done, recognizing that others have done this too, and for all of us, when those seeds ripen, they will ripen in unwanted ways. They'll ripen in suffering. And recognize that in the ways that others are suffering, whilst we aren't experiencing it now, we will in the future. And others will all have a vast array of strong negative deeds, the imprints of those on their continuum. So here, we're generating the opponent power of regret for the non-virtue that beings have done under the influence of the afflicted minds. And here in this context of regret, it's important to recognize that the true object of regret is the afflictions, not necessarily what's in addition to what's been done under their influence, but it's primarily the motivating afflicted minds that one is generating regret for. That then leads to the mind of restraint, where one commits to not coming under the influence of the afflictions, because it's those afflictions that lead us to have harmful intent towards others, or to talk harshly to others, or to physically harm others, and so forth. And likewise here, in the mind of restraint, we're committing not to come under the influence of the afflictions, because of the harm it causes to ourselves as well as to others, and not to act in a way that leads to the generation of afflictions by others. And then, so this is the opponent power of regret, and then restraint, and then the opponent power of the basis. So here, we're not turning to the Shakyamuni Buddha, but we're turning to Vajrasattva. We're in the context of the deity Vajrasattva. We're turning to Vajrasattva in exactly the same way as one would turn to the Buddha, with conviction that Vajrasattva can guide us to attain protection from suffering, the Dharma jewel within ourselves. And so we relate to Vajrasattva as an embodiment of the three jewels. It's no different from the three jewels, because Vajrasattva is a Buddha. So therefore, the Vajrasattva is a Buddha jewel. Vajrasattva is an Arya Buddha, and as an Arya being, is the Sangha jewel. And the Vajrasattva, being a Buddha, has the Dharma jewel on his continuum, true parts and true cessations. Therefore, Vajrasattva is the three jewels. Moreover, Vajrasattva is in essence indistinguishable from our Lama. So we see that, therefore, as Vajrasattva as being indistinguishable from our Lama as well as the three jewels. And therefore, Vajrasattva is a suitable object to turn to for refuge. And we do so in the way that was described before, doing so for the benefit of others, committing going for refuge so that we can spiritually progress and become a Buddha for the sake of others. So it's refuge and bodhicitta together. And then this is the third opponent power of basis. And then we go into the fourth, that of antidote. And we recite the Vajrasattva mantra under the guise, or the influence, rather, the influence of the opponent power of the basis, which was bodhicitta and refuge. It's important to understand how the four opponent powers work. It was mentioned before that these opponent powers, when we speak clearly, they weaken our non-virtuous imprints. So, to understand this, we can take a visual analogy. The trees around here, their bark is very dark. The bark of the trees is black. And if one decides, well, we think that white trees would be preferable, so I'm going to paint them, then one can understand that there are many of these trees and they're very tall. If one has a very small brush, then one's going to make very little progress. Or if one decides, I can't be bothered, I'll get a child to do it, the child will listen to what I say. Well, the child's not so tall, and it's probably not so motivated, so it's going to paint rather slowly, and even one tree will struggle to turn white. But if one makes great effort and has a very large brush and really applies oneself, then quite quickly one and then a second and a third tree will become, their bark will be painted white. So this is the process of what we're trying to do with our minds, because our minds are the storehouse, the container of our virtue and non-virtue. Our virtuous and non-virtuous imprints are found nowhere else other than on our continuum, our mental continuum. So this is where we're focusing our energy, on transforming our way of thinking, transforming our minds. So we think of the opponent powers. Regret is a virtuous mind. Restraint is a virtuous mind. Refuge and bodhicitta, virtuous minds. So these first three opponent powers are all virtuous minds. They are the white paint that we are applying to the blackness of the non-virtuous imprints on our continuum. The stronger these minds are, the greater the impact on our continuum. Likewise then with whichever of the opponent powers one applies, whether it's a mantra recitation or offering of water bowls, whatever it may be, or analytical meditation, whatever it is, the stronger these four opponent powers are, the more merit we accumulate, the stronger the virtuous minds we accumulate. And therefore, proportionately, the non-virtuous minds become weaker. So this is how we should understand purification. Through this understanding, we can also see the importance of repeated application of the four opponent powers. Because what we're trying to do is transform our way of thinking, become habituated to a virtuous way of thinking, habituated to minds such as love and wisdom and compassion. Those virtuous minds we're trying to strengthen our habituation to so that they readily arise. And what we're trying to weaken is the contrary minds to those, minds of selfishness, of harm. So those contrary minds we're trying to weaken our habituation to them. That is the process of purification, strengthening our habituation to virtuous minds, weakening our habituation to non-virtuous minds, so that our virtuous minds readily arise no matter what we encounter. This is how we start to experience the effects of our purification. And that thereby, that understanding then, hopefully serves to emphasize the importance to engage in purification practice repeatedly over a sustained period. Purification practice can be done in the morning, it can be done in the evening. The opponent power can be whatever one chooses. Even the order of the power of the antidote can be whatever one chooses. And the order of the opponent powers can be applied in a way that suits oneself. The key point is to do this practice regularly. And this will then lead to transformation. So thank you. I've gone on a little bit long tonight, so apologies for that. We'll finish here then. Thank you.